This is Movies for the Blind, episode 295, Salt of the Earth, part 3 of 3.
I don't want to go down fighting. I want to win.
Hi, and welcome to Movies for the Blind, where you can enjoy films without looking at a screen. I'm Valerie Hunter. We're heading for the end of Salt of the Earth, a film that had to go through a lot just to get made, including its star getting deported during filming. Originally, the director's wife, the Academy Award-winning actress Gail Sondergaard, was going to play the heroine Esperanza. But it didn't take long working on the project with the mostly Latino miners of New Mexico for the white crew to realize it would be pretty disingenuous to portray their story with an Anglo playing Latina. So they got Mexican actress Rosara Revueltas to play Esperanza. Her work was far from finished when the powers that be, who did not want blacklisted people making a movie, revoked any documentation she had and deported her back to Mexico. But that didn't stop her, nor the filmmakers. They were able to patch together what they had already filmed with her on location, then were able to get scenes shot of her in Mexico, speaking and reacting to things as if she were still there. That's also a big reason why much of what you hear of Esperanza is in voiceover, telling her story. She did it in Mexico, and the tapes and film of her work were snuck back into the U.S. for editing. Nothing was going to stop the film from being made. In the film itself, nothing so far has stopped the wives of the miners from carrying on their husband's strike, taking to the picket line after the men were stopped with the Taft-Hartley Act, which was a real provision, by the way. The women have withstood catcalls from cops, cars trying to run them over, and tear gas, all the while keeping their men from breaking the law by defending them with violence. However, the mine bosses have gotten the sheriff to arrest some of the women on no real charge, including Esperanza, who's taken her little baby Juan along. And it's not stopping the women from having their say, as we'll find out quickly in the conclusion of Salt of the Earth. Later, the arrested women are packed in a cell as two deputies relax beside it. Ruth and Luz are among those standing at the bars, shaking tin cups and chanting. Esperanza sits in back with Isabella and Juan, holding a baby bottle. Little boys are up front chanting along. One of the deputies raises his arms, trying to quiet them. The boys smile. A boy sticks out his tongue as the women relent.
I told you 10 times. We have no food. We have no beds. We have no beds. So will you please, shut up.
A deputy reaches to touch Ruth's chin, but it's smacked away. Teresa goes to Esperanza.
She can't drink this milk. It'll make him sick.
She goes through the crowd to the front, waving for the sisters to stop.
The baby can't drink this store milk. We want the formula.
You want the what?
The formula.
We want the formula.
The deputy looks away.
We want the formula.
Ramon steps through a door beside a bench. He looks at a sign saying, Office of the District Attorney. His son Luis looks through a window of the door as Ramon looks around. He walks past the bench toward the DA's office, where a door is ajar, and stops when he overhears.
You can get the JP to swear out peace bonds, or you can heist the bail high enough to keep him in jail.
Keep him? What am I supposed to do? Feed him out of my own pocket?
The DA and sheriff are with Alexander and Hartwell.
When are you going to settle this thing? You won't negotiate with them? What do you want, anyway?
Company has other minds. You've got to see the larger picture. Once these people get out of hand...
Hartwell closes the door. Unable to hear more, Ramon considers and turns toward the chanting. He looks at the closed office door, then approaches it again, leaning in closer. The deputy finds him.
What you doing here? Ain't you seen enough of me?
I come for my kids. They're in your jail.
He steps around Ramon to the office and opens the door.
But you've played every trump in your hand. They're not dead yet.
Not every trump.
The sheriff steps out.
Such as what?
And closes the door.
I can't shut them dames up. They keep yelling about a formula.
What?
A formula for the baby or something. His kid.
The sheriff walks off with him, ignoring Ramon, who just watches them go. The other deputy sits turned away while they enter the jail. The other deputy stands. The sheriff tries to wave them quiet. He holds up his hand.
Now, looky here. I got you some milk for the baby, so what's all the belly aching about?
That milk is no good.
Queremos la fórmula.
Queremos la fórmula.
Queremos la fórmula.
The baby has the formula.
You panito, get sick, you'll be responsible.
Yes, I am not running a drugstore. You girls got only yourselves to blame for this. You'll be back with your families in an hour. All you got to do is to sign a pledge not to go back on the picket line.
Don't sign nothing for the stinker. No, don't.
A little boy dozes against the bars. The first deputy opens a part of the door.
Hey, Fonzie, come here.
Ramon does. Then as the deputy turns away, Ramon opens the first door to let in Luis. They're led into the jail. With a gesture from the sheriff, the second deputy takes keys to the cell door. It's opened.
All right, where's his baby? Little girl.
They all just stand, frowning. Through the crowd, carrying Juan, is Esperanza. She faces him, but he just looks down at Juan. She gives Juan to him. Isabella steps out from behind her mother, and Luis takes her hand. They walk away from her, and the cell door closes again. Esperanza stares through the bars, then turns to the deputy.
Queremos comida. Queremos camas. Queremos baños. Queremos comida. Queremos camas.
Later, outside, Ramon picks up a sheet, wiping his brow with his sleeve. He hangs the sheet on a line, pinning it up. He turns to find laundry baskets bulging.
Will you kids get out of those baskets?
Isabella and the neighbor boy pop out on opposite sides of the fence. Ramon gets out another sheet, again wiping his brow. Next door, Antonio comes out of his house with another laundry basket. Setting it down, he takes out a pair of trousers. He hangs them while Ramon pins up more laundry.
¿Cómo va?
Ramon turns to him.
Esto no tiene fin. 3 hours just to heat enough water to wash this stuff. I'm telling you something. If this strike is ever settled, which I doubt, I'll never go back to work for that company unless they install hot running water for us. Should have been a union demand from the beginning. You're telling me?
Ramon returns to the line, but notices something. He throws down what he was hanging and goes to Juan in his bassinet and gives him a bottle. He returns to the line.
Like Charlie Vidal says, there are two kinds of slavery. Wage slavery and domestic slavery. The woman question, he calls it.
The woman question?
Yeah, the problem, what to do about it?
So, what does he want to do about him?
He says, give him equality. Equality in job, equality in home, and also sex equality.
What do you mean, sex equality?
You know, lo que es bueno para el hombre es bueno para la mujer. He's some organizer, that Charlie. He can sure organize a wife right out of your home.
Ramon pins angrily. Later, he washes dishes as Luis dries them.
Papa, can't I leave now? There's a meeting of the junior shop stewards.
The what?
The junior shop stewards. There's lots of ways we can help.
Don't I have enough troubles without them chipping you up to reform school?
But you need all the help you can get.
You've got a helper around the house.
But you've got me doing everything. Mama never used to make me dry the dishes.
You should have helped her without being asked.
Luis looks out a window when lights go by.
Hasta mañana.
A door opens on Ramon, and Esperanza comes in with a big smile and hug for Luis. As she moves on, Ramon shuts the door. She embraces him.
How do you feel?
I'm okay.
4 nights. How did you sleep?
We raced so much fuss, they finally brought Katsi. I nearly lost my voice for yelling so much. I was still a baby.
They're asleep.
She hurries to the bedroom. While behind his father, Luis sneaks out. In the bedroom.
Did you have to find a flashlight to go back to the picket line?
No, we wouldn't do it.
They glance toward the noise.
But if you go back, they'll lock you up again.
No, the sheriff's had enough of us. We drove him crazy.
Later, she welcomes a few of the sisters.
Well, I'm not to lose.
Hi, Ruth. If that's it, then.
Hello.
The guests sit.
Well,
it's all set. Consuelo's squad can take the day off tomorrow. We're taking over.
All right. We'll work it out.
Turning to the kitchen.
We've got to have a talk, you and me.
All right. But later, we have got a meeting now.
A meeting?
Yes, we plan for a picket line tomorrow. You can sit in if you want.
She picks up the chair he was leaning on and takes it.
Now, let us see. Who's available? China's husband is out of town on that delegation to see the governor.
And a whole lot of men going on a fuel hunting expedition tomorrow. 30 or 40 of them. So their wives are out too.
He leaves.
But we can ask them to keep our kids so the rest of us can...
They glance toward the door.
What are we going to do about him, Esperanza? It's about time he was heartbroken. Maybe if a delegation of us talk to him. I have to work it out with him myself.
Later, at the beer parlor, Ramon and several of the brothers sit at the bar, leaning heavily on it. Their heads are down, their expressions downcast.
I got a friend, he's got a friend in the Bureau of Mines. You know what he says? They ain't never gonna open that mine up again.
How come?
He said it's over run out, so help me.
Bull. Lot of bull. That's a rich mine. I know.
But what's the difference? They'll never settle with us. Never.
Hey, what you know? It's him. It's him, el presidente. The president of the company.
All but Ramon gather around a magazine.
Listen to this. Man of distinction. J. Hamilton Miller, financier,
business executive. Board chairman of Continental Factors and president of Delaware Zinc Incorporated.
Wait a minute now, some more. An enthusiastic sportsman and expert marksman, Mr. Miller manages to find time every year for an African safari. He leaves this month for Kenya, where he hopes to bag his 13th lion.
Antonio tears out a photo of him lounging with a rifle.
I'm going to frame this. Look, Ramon.
Gotta look at the larger picture.
So the guy is a lion hunter.
What you expect him to hunt, rabbit?
Boy, oh boy, would I like to get me some venison. I ain't tasted meat in 4 weeks.
How about it, Ramon? Let's take off for a couple of days, huh?
Why ask me? Am I running this strike?
If you want permission to go over the hill, go ask the ladies' auxiliary.
Tossing back the rest of his drink, Ramon leaves. Soon after, Esperanza's asleep in bed. Ramon sits on the edge of it. She looks at him.
I waited up till midnight.
He looks at her, then away again.
You weren't waiting for me.
That meeting only lasted 10 minutes. The first night I am home, you run to the beer parlor. What is it? Can't you bear the sight of me?
Be still.
She sits up.
But you wanted to talk. Tell me.
He stands and walks away. But she gets up. Putting on her robe and pulling her long hair out from under it. She goes to the kitchen, where he stands with one leg back up on the chair, holding a cup.
Tell me.
We can't go on this way. I just can't go on living with you. Not this way.
No, we can't go on this way. We can't go back to the old way either.
The old way? What's your new way? What's it mean? You right to neglect your kids?
He walks away again. She slowly follows. He tosses a belt on the table, and she turns on a light to find him sitting with a rifle.
Where are you going?
Hunting.
When?
Run off.
Alone?
No.
He cleans the rifle.
Ramon, you can't.
Why not? I'm not needed here.
But you are needed. Especially now with most of the other men away. You are the captain of the standby squad.
Sure, the standby squad. Stand by for the funeral.
Whose funeral? We are doing all right. There hasn't been a scout near the picket line for 3 days.
And you know why? Because the company knows they can starve us out. Even if it takes them another 2 or 3 months. What's it to them if the mine shut down a little longer?
It's a lot to them. They'd do anything to open that mine.
Ah. They've got other minds. You don't see the larger picture. They've got millions. Millions. They can outlast us, and they know it.
You mean you are ready to give up?
Who said anything about giving up? I'll never go back to that company on my knees, never.
You want to go down fighting, is that it? I don't want to go down fighting. I want to win.
Ramon, we are not getting weaker. We are stronger than ever before. They are getting weaker. They thought they could break our picket line, and they failed. And now they can't win unless they pull up something big and pull it up fast.
Like what?
I don't know. But I can feel it coming. It's like a lull before a storm. Charlie Vidal says.
Charlie Vidal says.
He stands and puts the rifle by the guitar.
Don't throw Charlie Vidal up to me.
She stares at him.
Charlie's my friend. I need friends. Why are you so afraid to have me as your friend?
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, you don't.
He sits.
Have you learned nothing from this strike? Why are you afraid to have me at your side? Do you still think you can have dignity only if I have none?
Talk of dignity. After what you've been doing.
Yes, I talk of dignity. The Anglo-Bosses look down on you, and you hate them for it. Stay in your place, you dirty Mexican. That's what they tell you. But why must you say to me, stay in your place? Do you feel better having someone lord than you?
Shut up, you're talking crazy.
Whose neck shall I stand on to make me feel superior? And what will I have out of it? I don't want anything lower than I am. I am low enough already. I want to rise and to push everything up with me if I go.
Will you be still?
Stands.
And if you can't understand this, you are a fool. Because you can't win this fight without me. You can't win anything without me.
He raises a hand to her.
That would be the old way.
He lowers it.
Never try to me again. Never.
She steps away from him toward the bedroom. Pausing, she turns back.
I'm going to bed now. Sleep where you please, but not with me.
She unties her robe and moves on. Later on the picket line, Teresa walks away from the 8 sisters walking in a circle in their coats and scarves. She stands before Esperanza. Both of them are frowning.
So they had a little taste of what it's like to be a woman. They ran away.
With Ramon, it's pride. I spoke out of the bitterness in me, and he was hurt.
Anything worth learning is a hurt. These changes come with pain. For other husbands, too. Not just Drummond.
Meanwhile, a few brothers walk into woods with their rifles. Some distance behind them, Ramon walks alone with his. As he walks, he remembers.
You mean you're ready to give up? You want to go down fighting, is that it? I don't want to go down fighting. I want to win.
He stares at the ground ahead of him.
Ramon, we are not getting weaker. We are stronger than ever before. They are getting weaker. Have you learned nothing from this strike?
He walks with slow, measured steps.
I can feel it coming. It's like a lull before the storm. They thought they could break our picket lines and they failed. And now they can't win unless they pull off something big and pull it off
fast. He looks
up. Brothers, we've got to go
back. A truck pulls up to the coffee shack. Teresa meets it. Charlie and another brother get
out. Esperanza, where's Ramon?
Did he go hunting with the others?
Where? Where can we find him, do you know?
No.
Deer hunters. Deserters, that's what they are.
Something's wrong? Charlie, tell us.
The company has an eviction order.
Among the houses.
Eviction! Eviction!
Where?
In La Casa de Quintero! Eviction!
And I'm dead.
In La Casa de Quintero!
A boy helps spread the word.
Eviction! Eviction!
Eviction!
Later, women walk past Alexander and Hartwell in the car.
Don't worry. Quintero's gone hunting with the others. Evict him first, the rest will be easy. Let their neighbors watch. It'll scare some sense into them.
They do watch as deputies haul out their belongings. Esperanza watches as well. Some boys run up to a fence.
Can't we do something?
Esperanza and some sisters approach the deputies.
All right, girls, get back, get back.
As one pushes back, he stumbles on a chair and breaks it. The boys keep watching, and so does Esperanza, furious. Meanwhile, Ramon and the brothers are heading back. A truck with men in hard hats stops elsewhere, met by other men.
Yeah, what's up? Eviction at the Quintero, please.
All right, let's go.
Hey, wait.
Women flag down another car and climb in. It moves on. More and more men and women walk past Alexander and Hartwell's car toward the Quintero house. The hunter's car returns to find other cars parked nearby. Ramon and the others get out, confused. The spectators turn to Ramon, who holds his rifle. He and the hunters go to the yard. He looks at Esperanza, who looks back. The deputies keep carrying things out, and the sheriff keeps casually gesturing where to drop them. Ramon raises his rifle, but then he puts it aside. The stove is carried out. Luis throws something, and so does another boy. A deputy is hit with rocks. He runs after them, and the boys run off.
Yeah. Leave them brats alone. Come on. Let's get our work done.
Dozens more people arrive.
Pay any attention to them. Go back and get the rest of the stuff.
They include the men in hard hats. The sheriff looks at them. So does Ramon, who turns to find a couple dozen women arriving from another direction. The sheriff turns to find another truck of people pulling up, along with another car. They all get out and join the crowds. Ramon considers. Almost smiling, he turns to Esperanza.
This is what we've been waiting for.
What are you saying?
This means they have given up trying to break our picket line. Now we can all fight together. All of us. Go ahead, please pick up the stuff.
She steps away from him and leads a few other women to some of her smaller belongings. They start picking them up. More follow to carry them back in the house through the back door. As more go in, others go out to get more. When a deputy carries something out, women meet him and take it. Ramon smiles. So do some boys who have returned. The deputy and sheriff watch, stunned, as more women take more belongings back into the house. The sheriff goes to Ramon.
Now, see here, Quintero. These women are obstructing justice. You make them behave, savvy?
I can't do nothing, Sheriff. You know how it is. They won't listen to a man anymore.
You want me to lock them up again?
You want them in your lockup again?
Two more trucks arrive, one of them loaded with people. They get out and run to the house. They join the crowds. Hundreds are now surrounding the yard. Some keep the deputies busy, while most just stand firm.
Hey, you guys from the open pit.
Yeah, the guys from the mill.
More men run to the yard. And some block deputies taking things out. The sheriff looks around at the people, just standing there, staring. The two deputies carry the things back to lean against the porch, as Hartwell watches from a distance. The sheriff sizes up the situation of his several men facing everyone surrounding them. Hundreds of men, women, and children, not aggressive, but not passive, all together. Nervously raises a cigarette to his mouth, but doesn't smoke. He throws it down. Gesturing to his deputies, he leads them away through the crowds. The people watch them go. The boys smile. Husbands and wives embrace. Stepping out of the house, Esperanza watches triumphantly as the moving trucks drive away. Hartwell pats the car door and gets back in. Police cars and moving trucks pull up to him and Alexander. The sheriff gets out, taking off his hat and scratching his head. He puts the hat back on and goes to them. As they keep watching the scene, the sheriff bends down to Alexander's open window.
Got any more ideas?
I don't make policy. I'll talk to New York. I think maybe we'd better settle this thing for the present.
Juan is handed to Ramon, who shakes hands with Frank.
We didn't know then that we had won the strike.
He gets the picture of Juarez from Isabella and takes her hand.
But our hearts were full.
He and his family face the crowds.
And when Ramon said,
"Franks, sisters and brothers, Esperanza, thank you for your dignity. You were right. Together, we can push everything up with us as we go."
Soon after, the crowds wave and start to leave.
Then I knew we had won something they could never take away. Something I could leave to my children, and they, the salt of the earth, would inherit it.
The hundreds of supporters walk away together from the Quintero home. The end. This described version of Salt of the Earth was produced for Movies for the Blind. The professional cast. Will Gear is the sheriff. David Wolfe is Barton. David Sarvis is Hartwell. Mervyn Williams is Alexander. Rosara Revueltas as Esperanza. The non-professional cast. E.A. Rockwell is Deputy Vance. William Rockwell is Deputy Kimbra. Juan Chacon as Ramon. Henrietta Williams as Teresa. Angela Sanchez is Consuelo. Clorinda Alderett is Luz. Virginia Jenks is Ruth. Clinton Jenks is Frank. Joe T. Morales is Ruiz. Ernest Velasquez is Charlie. Charles Coleman is Antonio. Victor Torres is Prieto, the scab. Frank Talavera is Luis. Mary Lou Castillo is Isabella. Floyd Bostick is Jenkins. E.S. Connerly is Kalinsky. Adolfo Barella and Albert Munoz as other brothers. And other brothers and sisters of Mine Mill Local 890 as the crowds.
And that was Salt of the Earth. Yes, that was Will Gear as the sheriff in the professional cast. It would take a couple decades after his blacklisting before he became known as Grandpa Walton on TV. Of course, this film would be as difficult to get screened in theaters in the USA as it was to make, for the same reasons, though it would gain an audience in Western Europe. It would take 10 more years for it to be shown a little more widely in the US, because times had really changed by then. Often it would be shown around colleges and for unions and women's groups. Now it is respected as a historical document, not just of the issues in the film, which are still relevant today, but the issues that made it so hard to film and the tenacity of the filmmakers to get the film made in spite of them. Our next film is kind of personal to me. It's the original version of one of my favorite movies ever, which starred one of my favorite actresses, who you probably know. But this one stars another of my favorite actresses, who isn't very well known now at all.
You do like him, don't you? She asked me if I like him.
I didn't know people lived in railway stations.
My dear girl, do you realize that life walked into this house this morning?
I have in my pocket now exactly $34.
I like this man. Does father know about it yet?
No.
We must find out something about this young man's background.
Oh, he'll never forgive you if you don't tell him now.
Oh, we're going to elope.
No, we're not.
I don't know just what I'll do when you go.
I don't propose to allow the subject of an engagement to come up in my first talk with him.
Well, then how about it?
About what?
About Julia and me.
Oh, let's have some fun in this house before you leave it.
You know where Linda is?
Where's Linda?
But whatever is the matter with Linda, Julia?
She should have realized that Father can't announce my engagement without some fuss.
She should have, yes. But unlike me, Linda always hopes. Bottoms up to Linda.
That's Holiday, next time on Movies for the Blind. To find out more about the movies, about description, and how to subscribe, go to the blog, moviesfortheblind.com, where you can also find out about this podcast's Creative Commons license. We're now happy to be on Stitcher, so feel free to subscribe, share, and say nice things. You can also follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. Make sure you're following updates on Facebook. And subscribe to us on YouTube, where we show you how it's done. The movies are from the Internet Archive, so please support universal access to human knowledge by visiting and donating at archive.org. Thank you for downloading and for listening. Be back next week. Take care.